Welcome, Amanda. I'm looking forward to doing this interview here at Christie Walk, where I live, on unceded Kaurna land. And I'd love to know a little bit more about you and to tell the listeners who you are, what you do. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. I come from a Australian family. I was brought up in Australia. I studied high school in Adelaide. I didn't do very well at formal high school, but I went off and did my nurse's training at a place called Bulleye Hospital in New South Wales. And then I came back to Adelaide and went to Flinders University and did a double major in biology and psychology, and did well enough to do honours in psychology. And then I went and continued to work, as I did throughout my university study, as a registered nurse. I specialised in aged care nursing, which I really had a lot of satisfaction from, and did a graduate diploma in aged care from Deakin University. And then I won a very generous scholarship to do a PhD at Adelaide University, also in nursing.
So in what angle of nursing? What topic was it?
I wrote a thesis called The Culture of Nursing Homes, an ethno-methodological study that basically examined how certain groups of people, in this case ageing people, were seen to deviate from cultural norms. We collected the data in 1996-1997, and at that stage there were less ageing people in society than there is now, proportionally speaking. And people who were over the age of 65 were treated in a very stereotyped way, a bit like the stigma of people who have mental illnesses or who are disabled or come from a racially minority background. They tend to be treated in a rather stigmatised and excluded manner. And that's what the study was about. And we did find that that did fit into the way ageing people were treated by society.
So you've done a lot of study.
Yes, but I've also worked quite extensively. I've worked for 45 years as a registered nurse in aged, acute, rehabilitation and rural and remote nursing right up to 2023. I've had a lot of experience, and I'm now doing a lot of writing about healthcare based on my health research abilities.
And you're an activist for the piece?
Oh, very much so. It's written in my heart. I've been a vice president of the Medical Association for Prevention of War now for about 14 years, and a state convener or co-convener for a little bit longer than that. That piece is written on my heart. Virtually everything I do in professionally and in the community is based on spreading the peace and raising awareness of the importance of peace.
That's wonderful.
I really am so motivated to do this because I know the importance of peace, not only to myself but to the community.
It affects us all. If we're not all equal, we can't survive.
No, that's right.
Or as a race.
It makes us sick without peace, without justice, without security, without peace. We just don't go anywhere, really.
So can you tell me a little bit about MAPW and how long it's been around?
Yes, MAPW in Australia has been around since the 1980s. It's the Australian affiliate, for the International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War that won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1985. MAPW also founded the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons in Melbourne in 2007. This is also known as ICAN, and ICAN developed the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons that transited the United Nations in 2017. And we're very honoured to have won the Nobel Peace Prize, the first Australian group, so to speak, to do so that year in 2017. It's been a wonderful association. We advocate for the prevention of all armed conflict and its devastating impacts on human health, regardless of the nationality, ethnicity, religion, beliefs, gender, or any other identifier of the victims. We uphold the right of all people to live in peace.
So essentially you don't take sides, it's about the prevention of war.
It's about the prevention of war, especially nuclear war. Our ultimate focus is nuclear
war. Tell us more about that. Why especially nuclear?
Especially nuclear war because if there is a nuclear war, it will mean the end of human civilization as we know it. And it's particularly important now because the wars we have in both Ukraine and Gaza are involving other countries to such an escalating and major extent that they could result in nuclear war. So our efforts have been concentrated to try and raise awareness about them and try and bring about a cessation of these wars.
In Australia, there's so many people still suffering from the British nuclear testing.
Yes.
And that was nowhere near on the scale that a nuclear war would be.
That's exactly right. Maralinga, Emu Fields, the Montebello Islands, the Indigenous people in particular have suffered terribly and continue to suffer through genetic damage, in particular visual damage, DNA damage, absolutely diabolical. And I congratulate the Indigenous people on their ongoing campaigns in that area. I think we all at MAPW support them very strongly.
And also the Marshall Islands and the Bikini Islands and Guam, there's so many people. That whole thing, I think, it's not well understood that you can drop a bomb and then after that you get these babies that are born that are called jellyfish babies because their brain is jellyfish.
It's just so inhumane.
How does that happen?
Yeah, exactly. And how did they ever get away with dropping them in the first place when the information was there all the time? Yeah. Mm. So inhumane, cruel.
It's a monstrosity that you can inflict on people. And Australia's got involved in it.
Mm.
We've been fairly clear, I think, that nuclear is not the answer.
No, exactly. I have to say it's very dangerous, the use of and the outcome of nuclear testing, nuclear bombing. And all of the outcomes and the side effects of all of that instrumentation is very, very dangerous.
Just on a personal level, at what stage in your training and your studying did you veer off towards activism for peace?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, my family was always involved in it to a certain extent. I grew up in Kensington Park and Don Dunstan was the Premier and also the state representative at that stage when I was a teenager. So I was influenced by the politics even back then. You know, that was as a teenager. So it's been an ongoing thing. But my first knowledge of nucleotides and the chemistry of nuclear reactions and things was when I studied chemistry at university in conjunction with biology, with my degree in biology. And I learned a great deal from doing that.
Mm. So you learned a great deal about how it works?
About nuclear fission reactions
and
the dangers, the atomic table. They're still introducing new elements into the atomic table in that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And also through MAPW, we've had some wonderful mentors in MAPW. Peter Karas-Moskos is an expert who frequently gives us new and updated information to the committee and to the National Council about APANSA and protocols with APANSA. Margaret Beavis is an expert. She's a co-vice president. Susan Wareham is also quite brilliant in this area. So there's always updated information on our website.
And these are all medical professionals?
Yes.
Who are active?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then there's Professor Tilman Raff, who's now retired, but he's still closely associated with public health at the University of Melbourne, and he keeps things fairly closely updated. As I said, he's associated with public health, and so is Margaret Beavis, and she's one of the vice presidents along with me. So we all keep each other informed.
So what's your role again?
I'm a state co-convener with Nick Wickham, Professor, or Dr. Nick Wickham, who's South Australian, for the state of South Australia. And I'm also a Vice President with Dr. Margie Beavis, who's national, that's at national level. I'm a nurse, whereas the rest tend to be doctors. So we have one other nurse, Lynn Seville, who represents New South Wales with us, psychiatrist Anne Noonan, and Lynn is also a registered nurse, but they jointly represent New South Wales.
And what sort of action does MAPW take?
In what area?
In terms of what do they do? How do they get what their goals? How do they fulfil their goals?
We advocate for the prevention of all armed conflict and its devastating impacts on human health, regardless of the nationality, ethnicity, religion, beliefs, gender, or any other identifier of the victims. We uphold the right of all people to live in peace. We do this through education, advocacy, and we also do a lot of public speaking. We spread information, we do web updates. We maintain a website, we maintain active membership. You can be an affiliate member, which means you don't have to be a health professional. You can just be an ordinary person and still support our work. We have international affiliates in most areas of the world. We're just the Australian affiliate of the International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War. We look at both civil conflict as well as national conflict, as well as community conflict. I've been involved in lecturing school children about keeping harmony at school, keeping harmony at home, domestic violence. Right at the beginning, individual peace. I've written things about how people can stay peaceful within themselves, how to find individual peace within yourself, how to connect with others peacefully, how that can start a peaceful world. It has to start with you. Anything to do with peace, promoting peace in the world.
Covers every domain of life.
Really, yeah, and that it has to start with the individual.
And you recently awarded some children.
Yes.
Prizes. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, that was absolutely delightful. That was at the Adelaide Secondary School of English. I was invited by the principal, Andy Macri. That was yesterday, Thursday, the 21st of March.
Harmony Day,
yes. They had a school assembly, and I was honoured to be invited there to present two prizes. One was for a delightful young girl, Gabriella, who did this beautiful, beautiful work of art of a dove protecting the world with its wings, protecting the world from evil and violence. And it was just so delightful. And it was nominated by the seniors at the school for the art award. And the second prize was to a young fellow for his active behaviour in the school for keeping peace, for resolving conflict, and for his good role modelling within the school. So I was extremely pleased to be able to present the MAPW Peace Prize Awards at that particular school, and also to mention the role of MAPW in South Australia and also nationally, our role for promoting peace in the community.
And was the whole school there?
The whole assembly was there. Yes. They had a day where they were all dressed informally, and they all dressed in their different national costumes. Oh. It was just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And the teacher, Auntie Macri, stood and said how they all belonged in Australia. I thought it was just beautiful, beautiful ceremony, just beautiful.
What a lovely experience.
It really was. It was very moving, and to, you know, present a prize that touched on peace and joined people together in a peaceful and harmonious way, for me, was very, very moving.
Mm. Well, that's a beautiful thing, and you have to start with young people.
Absolutely. I think most of these students would have come from situations in their homelands that were anything but peaceful. Some of the students I personally met and chatted with were lucky to have survived to their trip to Australia and their trip out of where they came from. So they'd come from various traumatic situations. So very often people don't value peace until they don't have it in their life, and that's when they don't have it in their life that they seek it more desperately than ever before, and they realise the value of it more than ever before.
Mm. And that will live with them.
Yes, it stays with them, and they value it. Mm. It's a huge learning experience. Mm.
You were talking earlier too that you do a lot of writing now.
Yes, I do. Yes, I really enjoy that. I have published a few things on Medium in my own name. The first one I wrote was in October last year, called On the Edge of Nuclear War. That was published, and it got quite a warm reception. I'm very pleased with that. And the whole idea of writing it was to write on an international platform about what nuclear war is about, why it's threatening, why it's dangerous, why the nuclear build-up is dangerous, why deterrence, nuclear deterrence, is dangerous, why we need to disarm, why we need to do it really rapidly and stop the escalation, why the risk of an accident is so high, and if it does happen, why it could get so out of hand and cause destruction that we can never turn away from. And it's meant to be written in everyday language that is readable and engageable by anyone, really, anyone at all. So it's easy to read, easy to learn, easy to understand. That's the whole reason why I wrote it. That was my whole motivation.
Mm-hmm. And so do you see that as your way forward now, is writing?
Yes, and I'm starting to write general health articles too. I'm particularly on general health. Like, I wrote one, I just published it this morning, actually. It was on the natural ability of the sun for health.
Health and
hygiene.
It's so important.
Yeah, vitamin D, circadian rhythm, the necessity of having sunlight in the home, you know. Yeah, so, and that's been very well received. I can't do it all the time, but I enjoy doing it when I can. So,
I'd love to talk to you in another interview about some of your writing.
I'd be very, very happy to talk to you about that.
Is there anything else you want to add about MAPW and any current situation?
Yes, I'd like to talk just a little bit about the urgent situation in Gaza. Do you have time?
Yeah.